Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
Hello and welcome to Women at Money. It's always exciting for me to be back in studio on Money FM Business Radio. Remember, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note or message on 0967-144-220. Money. A famous philosopher once said, choose a job you love and you'll never have to work a day in your life. I dare you to do so today. I'll be back shortly and introduce the topic and the guest for today.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Money. Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
Welcome back. You are still listening to Women at Money on Money FM Business Radio. Well, recently I had a very interesting conversation with my 13-year-old. Firstly, when she was about 5 years old, I asked her, what do you want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. Well, she said, when I grow up, I want to be a doctor. I want to help sick people. You know the way kids always think of doctors and helping sick people. Yeah, but then a few years later, she said, no, mommy, I think I don't want to be a doctor anymore. I want to be a famous designer because I'm very creative. I'm like, yes, I can see your creativity quite all right. And then again, she said, you know what, mommy? I think I don't want to be a fashion designer anymore. I want to be a lawyer because I like reading. I was like, well, okay, that's okay. So from what I have said and from the conversation I've had with my daughter, you can see that they're a number of people still struggling to choose a career, right? Well, even people in their 40s still struggle, just like my daughter. Setting career goals, as we know, is not as easy as ABC, right? Well, today on Women at Money, we're looking at diverse career goals. Joining me now in studio is a woman, a phenomenal woman, I must say, who has experience in switching careers. I have, to my pleasure, Tawani Clark, a fashion designer. She's the owner of Kutowa Designs, an Afro-chic clothing and accessory label. She is an agricultural specialist by training. In short, she trained as an agricultural scientist turned fashion designer. We'll take a short break before we get into our conversation.
Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
Welcome back. Before we went on a break, I was introducing my guest. I have in studio Tawani Clark. Welcome, Tawani.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much for making it here. Firstly, have you reached your ultimate career goal? Yes or no?
I don't think so. You know, I think that one is for the grave, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well, lots of time to go.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, tell us about your childhood. How was it growing up?
Oh, I had such an interesting childhood. I mean, not many people know, but I have firebrand parents. Yes. I have Roy Kalaki, aka Kalaki from Kalaki's Corner as a father, and Sarah Longwe, a firebrand feminist and activist as a mother. So
You know, yeah. I had your mother, is it 2-3 weeks ago in studio, and I had no idea.
Not many people know. It's a well-kept secret that Sarah Longue is married, and they've celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations to them.
It was awesome. And, you know, I tell you the sweetest thing, mm-hmm. on Christmas Day, mm-hmm. my dad, and he had hurt his knee, he knelt down on his knee, mm-hmm. and renewed, he bought a whole new ring,
fantastic.
Diamond ring, and says, can we renew the contract for the next 50 years?
Wow, nice. Okay, that's nice. Yes, you can go on and just take us through your childhood.
The childhood, well, my parents worked at University of Zambia. They're both teachers. So, you know, mom used to work at Kabalonga Girls. My dad, the time I was born, was at Monali Secondary School. And nice. Then for a good 10 years of my childhood, we lived at UNSA, University of Zambia. My dad was a lecturer. So it was so much fun because we just pretty much explored every nook and cranny of that place. Libraries, you know, would sneak in, go around. We could borrow any book because I could use dad's library card. So nice. I was an avid reader. We used to play dodgems with the sprinklers. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, who can run from one end to the other end by the lawns of Goma Lakes and not get wet?
Interesting.
You know, invariably we got wet, but that was just
And that
made
place
it
is
more
always
fun.
Watered, you know.
Yeah, it was fun.
Nice. Okay, now take us through your education background.
Yeah, I'm a proper Zambian child, I think, really. At the end of the day, it's ridiculous how much so. Mm. I went, my school is just around the corner from here, just Jacaranda.
Almost like next door opposite, right?
Yes, that was my primary school. And from there, I went to St. Mary's. And mm-hmm. from St. Mary's, I hated school though, by the way. Like, hated
what?
With a capital
Seriously.
H. Not that I wasn't bad at it, I just didn't like it.
Did it have to do with anything, your parents being teachers?
Yes, dad was so much a better teacher than any other teacher that I came across. It's like, why can't you just be my teacher? I can stay home.
Yeah.
And then I went to UNSA, comedy over errors. I ended up in agriculture. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to be an architect. So there, maybe that's a career goal. I might actually become an architect one of these fine days.
Yeah, from being a fashion designer into...
It's all design. It's all design, Nkonde, really.
Yeah. I mean, yes, it is. Okay, so from your, you've taken us through your education background now. Do you think education is important to what you're doing right now? Because you're a fashion designer right now.
Well, particularly my specific degree may not really help. I think the important thing, Nkonde, is really to learn to learn. Because everything is changing at such a pace things, information becomes obsolete.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you have the methodology of learning to learn and keep reading and keep following up, I think that's important. And if your education helps you do that, then it has helped you.
My Advent mentor is always telling me, learn to unlearn. So when you unlearn what you think you know, you're opening up your mind to learn new things.
Absolutely, yeah. So, yeah, some of the learning can't take place until some unlearning has taken place as well.
So now looking at the fact that you hated school, would you think you'd be better if you didn't go through school and just pursued your fashion design career?
Well, no, because I needed to learn how to read and write. I mean, that is fundamental. And fashion design is really a game of numbers, you know, measurements and dividing and proportionalities. Mm-hmm. I needed all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would actually promote people to learn more. And I think we shouldn't look at learning or degrees as something that just happens. You just do your degree. I mean, let's keep learning. Let's go back for that third, that fourth.
Mm.
As time goes on, we find out more about ourselves and what our interests are. So if you did an undergrad in one area and you find that that's not the area that interests you,
exactly,
go back. It's not the end.
Mm-hmm.
There's time. We live until what? I'm living until 108, so I've got lots of time.
I like that. I like that. I don't know. I mean, I'm still thinking about how long I want to live. Well, fantastic. We'll go on a break, and when we come back, we'll get into Tawane's personal life.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Women at Money. to help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business. This is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
Welcome back. I still have Tawani Clark in the studio. And just in case you want to get in touch with us, you can get in touch with us on +26097144220, or you can stream us live on www.moneyfmzambia.com. And we're looking at diverse career goals. Now, Kutowa, tell me, how many goals did you set growing up?
I think my goal setting started really late. Mm-hmm. I really wasn't good at goal setting. Goal setting came much later in my 20s, I would say. I think it was only when I became a practicing Buddhist at the age of 17. And in Buddhism, and particularly the type of Buddhism that I'm in, which is Nichiren Daishonin or the Soka Gakkai International, New Year is our thing. You know, like for Christians, it's Christmas. And for Muslims, it may be, you know, the fasting period. I forget what you call it, Ramadan. That's what you call it. You call it Ramadan. But as for Buddhists, it's New Year. And the big thing is to write and really formulate and think about your New Year resolutions.
Yes.
You know what I learned in Konde about the New Year resolutions is to really dig deep into myself and ask myself, what do I really want? What does my heart deep down want? And I found the best way to come across that, to come across what I really wanted deep inside, was to imagine. My dad used to read us a lot of fairy stories, so this related to me a lot. Is to imagine that you have a fairy godmother who has this wand, and she can deliver whatever you ask.
Wow.
That frees up your mind unbelievably. Say, that's what I want.
I'm imagining that,
I'll try that.
Why not? I mean, dreaming is for free, right?
It is, it is.
It's not cost involved.
No, it's not. Okay, so what are some of the, what did you want to become?
I was very confused. I wanted to become an architect initially. And I still,
which you will be.
Which I still might be. But then I think lack of confidence in myself in the secondary school, and we had a careers teacher who told us that, you know, it's actually easier to get into UNSA if you apply for AGRIC and then change. So that's how I actually ended up applying for AGRIC. And then lack of confidence further. You know, this is despite, you know, someone who was top of her class still was not confident. You know, what if I don't get the grades, right? So when I was in first year, I struggled a little bit in the first part of the year with math. And again, like, oh my gosh, what if I don't get the grades to get into civil engineering? By which time I had changed to civil engineering because Copperbelt University was closed. But I thought the nearest thing is civil engineering. I might not get the main grades in math. And then I settled for agriculture. And I told myself, you know, we've got a lot of land in Zambia.
You know, I hear you. It's like you choose by university. Look, you're going to CBU, you choose to be an architect. You're going to UNSA, you choose the closest. It's kind of confusing, not really what you want to do, but what is available, right?
Yeah. So that's how I ended up staying in School of Agriculture, which is, I mean, I've always loved sciences and, you know, biology, and I have an interest in nutrition as well. I had already stopped eating meat as a teenager. I was a vegetarian and recently become vegan. So I really love to read on nutrition. So I got good foundation over there on that.
Wow, I have to come to you. I really have to come to you, seriously.
Stop shitting animals over there. God, it's not good for your soul.
I have to check myself again. Okay, moving on. So now walk us through your career path, like starting from your graduation day. You have graduated from the sciences.
UNSA, oh, that was interesting. You know, from someone who's like, oh my gosh, am I going to make it? I actually graduated with distinction.
Congratulations.
I know.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, it was crazy. You know, I was married.
And the sciences, for that matter.
Yeah. Oh. And no one had done so for about 25 years in the School of Agriculture. So all of my lecturers will remember me because of that and look at me in shock and horror to say, and what are you doing with that degree now? And yeah. I could, because I graduated with honors, you would say, or with distinction, as we call it here,
yes.
I was given the option of becoming a staff development fellow. But I thought, you know what? Academia is really not for me. I don't see myself going straight into teaching or straight into research, though I do love teaching, and I think there's a big teacher in me, and hence I am a yoga teacher.
Oh, okay.
But I thought, look, this is a very practical subject, and I realized that I learned the most from the lecturers who had actually worked in the field. So actually, yoga. I wanted to work in the field. And besides, I was newly married and had a young kid, so I delved into commercial agriculture and worked on the family farm with my husband's family, and worked for Agriflora, and that was amazing because a lot of management, we did have management courses in agriculture, but I tell you what the best management course of my life was, being the firstborn of four children and the daughter of a really busy mom. That was the best management training that I ever received, and most of my lessons in managing people were really from the family.
Yeah. Like on-site learning, right?
Yes. I mean, at one point I was managing over 20 supervisors and over 700 workers picking several tons of produce every day. But then I guess there reaches a point in that part where I thought, you know, I want to go and further my studies. And I felt that there was a bit of a dichotomy between the Zambian staff and the expatriate staff, and I really didn't feel why there was this big disparity.
Exactly.
In what we were paid. And I said, look, you know what? I blackmailed them. I said, either you pay me more, I'm going to study.
Or I leave.
They didn't pay me more, so I went to do my master's. And then I realized that if I went into horticulture, because I didn't, you know, I don't eat meat, I said, look, I want to, you know, study a little bit more on the fruit and vegetables rather than how to keep animals.
And grow more.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I thought, no, if I go along that that route, it will take me down academia and teaching. And I really felt that my side was more the entrepreneurial side. My paternal grandmother was very entrepreneurial. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do a master's in business administration. Mm-hmm. So I spent a year at University of Cape Town.
Okay.
That was awesome.
I can imagine. I can imagine. So, tell me, do you have a role model in your life?
I have role models. I think there's various role models for different areas of my life. I don't think I have to restrict myself. I think my parents are major role models. Both of them have changed their careers many times over. And I think that's what made me not really to be so scared of changing my careers. I mean, my father started off as a metallurgist and worked for the mines.
Okay, interesting.
I realized he couldn't have very good conversations with rocks. They were a bit boring. So he decided people were a lot more interesting, and he retrained as a teacher. My mother got chucked out of nursing school. So
how come?
She's a troublemaker from a long time ago. It's like historic.
Okay.
So then she trained as a teacher. So there was a time when she was also a teacher, and then she did administration and women's rights activism. My dad also changed from teaching into, you know, consulting and evaluation of projects and dabbled in writing. Most people know him for his latter career and managing a bit of real estate so that he can do pretty much what he pleases the rest of the time.
Yeah. You know, most people, I'd say, are so scared of changing from this to that, only to the fact that there won't be progress. Look, if I move from this and to this, what am I going to be known for? So how did you manage that? How did you convince yourself to move from this career to the next and to the next?
Well, when I finished my degree, my master's, and I came back, I dabbled a little bit in agricultural consultancy and very much in the NGO sector, and kind of got disillusioned with the donor model and said, look, we're really not going to develop this way. I said, I need to be where it's happening. I need to make it a difference, and I want to be an entrepreneur. But in that transition, I used some of my business skills to work for a law firm. So I was a business consultant for a law firm. So it was basically management is management. So you know, you'd be surprised, Ngondi, that a lot of the skills that we have are, in fact, transferable. Management is is management. Yeah. You're managing people. Mm. So if you're good at managing people in one environment, you will probably be good in managing people in another environment as well.
Yeah, interesting.
So when I worked for, I had the good fortune of working with Corpus for 4 years, and it was amazing. And I just want to say here that sometimes leaving a career or the decision to change a career isn't necessarily because of frustration only. I had a good job. I was well paid. I loved my job. I loved the people, and the relationships that we had with each other were very, very good. But the issue was I could see that I wasn't going to go anywhere. I was not a lawyer, and the legal structure is such that it's not like in UK where you can have non, you know, lawyers will have a board and they would have non-legal people or directors on that board. The Zambian structure doesn't allow. So basically I had hit the proverbial glass ceiling. So I could stay right here in this nice job with these nice people. But there's something eating away at me to say, this is not really me. This is not really fulfilling who I am. And that's the point where I thought, and yes, I'm now a single mother with two kids. And I'm like, how do you leave a stable job when you when you're a mother with two kids? Are you freaking crazy?
Yes, exactly. I would ask you the same.
I am crazy. You have to have an element of craziness, I guess, too. Yeah. And you got to take risks. Otherwise, you know, nothing happens.
We're
in life.
Always scared. How am I going to survive?
Do you know what the defining moment was for me? The defining moment is when I asked myself two questions. One, is there ever going to be a good time? Is there ever going to be a good time? So the kids now, they're in primary school. Then I'm going to be in secondary school. And then they're going to be in university. Am I going to put my dreams on hold for freaking whole 20 years?
No.
No. That was my answer. The second question I asked myself, what is the absolute worst thing that will happen? That could happen.
Yeah, probably fail to feed them.
I fail. Exactly. I fail. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
I can go back and I can get a job. So after I had answered those two questions, you know, let me give it a shot. And 9 years later, here I am.
Okay. So before we go on a break there, then you decided, let me get into fashion. How was the transition?
Crazy. I left the law firm, so I kind of made my decision in 2008, and there was a six-month transition, both for them. I was handing over, and for me as well. So I went into fashion. My two things, and they came from the New Year resolutions that you talked about earlier. So my New Year's resolutions had been for several years to set up a design label, and I'd always had the name Kotoa. Kotoa meaning, you know, so bright and beautiful you shine, which is the root of my name.
Okay.
Kotoa, you know, our sisters, we
interesting.
Like meanings.
Yeah, you know.
in our names. And and towards the end of 2008, I had started yoga a little bit more regularly, and my teacher had gone out of town, and she asked me to teach, and I found that I absolutely loved it. So I thought, you know what? Giving birth to these two baby twins, business twins.
Okay, so we'll go on a break, and when we come back, we will talk more about fashion.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
Welcome back to Women at Money, and I have in studio with me Tawani Clark, and we're talking about diverse career goals. Now, before we went on a break, Tawani was talking about how she got into fashion designing, and you just carry on from where we left off.
Well, fashion designing, you know, sometimes we don't see our own talents in ourselves. I think I really credit my sister, my sister Yelue, who's actually in town.
So which one started, the yoga or the fashion design?
They're twins. They were born at the same time.
Yeah, I remember.
They're not identical, obviously, as you can see. They're paternal twins. My mom, in her travels as a global feminist, will travel a lot around Africa and bring lovely fabric from around Africa and gift us generally for Christmas, and somehow I became the designer for myself and my sisters every now and again, and My sister works at UCT in Cape Town, and people would literally stop her in the street and say, where did you get this?
Your outfits are, like, I can wear them for work. I'm a kind of a formal person, so...
Yeah, and that was the whole thing. I felt there was a gap in the fashion market where you need, stuff that is African, that maybe has our beautiful chitenge, which is vibrant, but you can wear it every day. It's not something that you can just wear for a kitchen party.
Yeah, and you look so beautiful in your outfit.
Thank you. I'm shining, Ka.
Hey, too much.
Towering.
Like, I can only see you in this room. Yeah. Okay. Nice. So, getting back to diverse goal setting, what should one consider in setting the goals? The career goals, I mean.
I think we have to listen to ourselves. We are all different. Mm-hmm. I think that's what set me on this path in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
If it's just about money, there's so many different ways of making money.
Mm.
You know, even the undertaker, the person who makes coffins, makes money. The lawyers make money. There's so many ways. So that the thing is to say, what do I enjoy?
Mm-hmm.
What do I love? What do I feel my mission is? Mm. Why am I here? Why was I born on this planet? If you really want to take it that deep, you say, what is my dharma? What is my mission?
Mm.
And I think a good insight in what your mission is, what do you have fun with?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have fun with it, you're likely to become good at it. Because to become good at anything, you have to generally spend a lot of time honing those skills. I mean, Beethoven didn't arrive to be an amazing musician just like that.
Yeah.
You know, Tiger Woods didn't become who he is. It's practice and practice. Mm-hmm. I think Michael Gladwell said in, I think one of his books, 10,000 hours to master something.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So, moving on, you, in our earlier conversation, you spoke about you being directed in one career path and you taking the advice, and then later on, here you are. So, firstly, what should one consider in, or really, let me put it the other way, who is really responsible for setting one career goal? Is it the individual,
the
parent, or society?
I think everything comes to play.
Mm-hmm.
I think historically, I think I remember growing up, a lot of my friends wouldn't even have a choice. Says, my dad says, I'm going to become an accountant.
Mm.
Or you're going to become a lawyer. So I think we're coming from a historical point of view. Like, I'm paying your fees.
Yeah.
So
he pays the piper.
Yes.
Calls the shots. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think we're moving a little bit away from that, where we're giving a little bit of leeway. So I think I would like to see a situation where us as parents give room to our children and our nephews and our nieces to ask themselves that question, rather than saying dictating or pressurizing. Sometimes it's not a dictation, but it's sort of a pressurizing. I think we have a lot of fear as adults. Ah, no, you can't. You won't. You won't manage.
Especially in Zambia, you want to do this, you won't make money.
Yeah, I think times are changing.
Mm.
I think times are changing, and it's not all about money. And that's what I also, sorry, this is Money FM, and I'm saying it's not all about money.
Oh, yeah, we love money.
my parents' daughter.
Yeah.
Well, money is important. Yes, money is important, and you need enough money to get out of it. But I think career satisfaction is beyond money.
Yeah.
And I think if you're satisfied and you're offering something that other people also need, that is a service or adds something or fills a gap, the money is likely to come in as well.
Exactly. So now getting into my secondly question, right?
I don't know if I'm answering these questions properly. Please tell me if I'm going off tangent.
No, you are. Exactly, you are. So now here was a counselor guiding you. Now I'm thinking, so should we allow people to define our career path?
Ultimately, we shouldn't. But I tell you what's missing, Konde. What's missing, I would like to see a situation where young people, as they're heading towards the end of, usually we have to make these choices in secondary school.
Exactly.
I think what we need is more part-time work or volunteer work for the young people. Because how do you know whether this is right for you or not unless you immerse yourself in some part of it? Like your daughter, going back to your daughter, how does she know if doctor is the right thing? Maybe a few trips to the hospital. Maybe talking to a doctor. Then she says lawyer. All right, let's go to a law firm. This is what's actually involved. My sister, you know, did some law courses, and I think at Civic College before university, and it was through those courses like, hell no.
I ain't going to do this.
You know, this is going to be torture. So I think there's, how do you know if you don't dabble, if you don't, there needs to be a testing ground. So we need to help young people with the testing ground. And we can also use that ourselves, even as adults. You know, hang out with people in that profession. See if you can shadow, talk to them. What is it like? Follow in someone's footsteps for a day or two. And I think that gives us a good sounding board whether something is for us or not. Sometimes we have very romantic notions of various careers.
Exactly. I'm telling you. I know what she does is she makes balls, she makes bags, she makes all sorts of things. Now she's 13. What do you want to be? I want to be a lawyer. I'm like, oh, okay, go for it. So we'll take another break. And when we come back, we will ask Tawani a random question.
For business on the go, visit www.moneyfmzambia.com to watch, stream, and download various programs from anywhere in the world.
Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.
Welcome back. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Women at Money, and I'm having a great conversation with Tawani, the owner of Kutoa. Let me pronounce it like that. Kutoa Designs. And we're looking at diverse career goals. Now, Tawani, are you ready for the random question?
Bring it on. Bring it on.
Well, let me tell you, I'll ask it shortly so that you get ready. Finally, now, but firstly, I keep on saying firstly, I don't know why. Okay.
You know what? That's like starting again careers. It's always firstly. You start again, firstly.
It's
changing careers. Don't
you've spoken about your New Year's resolution that changed your entire career.
Yes.
And I remember I didn't follow it up. So here's a new year. You're making your resolution. Take me through that.
Oh my gosh, this is so deep down and personal.
Okay, something that you think,
okay,
okay,
I can do it. I can do it. Just don't judge me. Okay.
Okay.
Really, it's to develop. My business babies are now nine years. So I really want to grow them beyond our home base. I think we're in a global economy. Why does a Zambian business have to just stay in Zambia? Why cannot we, why can't we offer our services beyond Zambia? So I really want to make tracks in that one. I've been talking about
it for some time,
but I'm really making tracks
this
year for both my business babies. And maybe doing more stuff in media. I think like everything, I kind of get roped into things and people see things in me that I don't see in myself. So I've been called a lot to speak on radio, to appear on TV, and I have a segment on Diamond TV.
Nice.
Yeah, on the weekend marathon at 9 a.m. So I really have fun with my 5-minute segment there.
Ah, nice.
And so I really want to continue doing more of that and getting people into a healthier lifestyle. So I have Masukani as well, which is. Yeah, it's some people don't have time to go to the gym. You want to do something in your home. So at 5 a.m, you can do yoga with me Masukani and just release and, you know, start the day tension free and strong and ready.
Yeah, I have to do that. I will be calling you at 5 a.m. Yeah, okay. So you won first place in 2015 edition of Nyamuka. How was this experience?
I won third place.
Third place.
It was amazing. And, you know, a lot of the things which we do, it's more than the winning. I think taking part in Nyamuka Zambia was much more than winning the third prize. It was the process.
Okay.
the whole process of developing a business plan really mm-hmm. made me think more deeply about my business and which way I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm. And it was timely, right?
Yes. And more than that, I think sometimes when you're an entrepreneur, you tend to be, well, I was as well, mm-hmm. anyways, a little bit guarded and protective over my ideas and not really open about speaking to other people or getting advice. So mm-hmm. I found that also extremely useful to be able to get advice, to mm. open up to other people. So because I was able to open up, I was able to develop and I was able to input so much more into the business in just being more open. Mm. And the presentation skills, oh my gosh.
Yeah, amazing,
that
right?
3-minute pitch. I think yeah. I talked to the mirror. I don't know how many times. I think I mm-hmm. talked to the dog. I sat my staff down on the sofa and gave them yeah. the presentation. What do you think? Should I change mm-hmm. this? Change that. Yeah. So presentation skills also really improved.
Okay. That's fantastic. Now, as I was doing my research for this interview, I found out that one part of your mission is to change how Zambian women view chitenge outfits. So do you think Zambian women have an inferior outlook of chitenge?
I think that's changing. Mm-hmm. I think a lot has happened in the 9 years. I'm mm-hmm. very, you know, pro-African, pro-Zambian. Mm-hmm. You see from my hair, I proudly wear yeah, it out yeah, into a fro. See. I can't even fit the mic over my afro right now. I'm wearing it backwards because the fro is like out of control mm. over here. Yes, let us celebrate who we are.
Yeah, yeah.
Who we are as women and as African women. And chitenge has a very global story, but it's ours. And what I love about it is vibrant.
Yeah, it is.
It has so much color, so much story. And I think that reflects a lot on who we are as African women. Mm. So it's happening. We're still way behind the African the West African ladies, but I think we're getting there. Yeah. You know, I would like to see it where our local wear becomes the norm. And, you know, the norm. Mm. And then if you wear Western, you're like kind of out of place.
I'm telling you.
Where it's still, it's still the other way around. If you're in yeah. chitenge, if you're in chitenge or an African attire, you're in the minority.
Yeah.
I want us to flip that still.
Yeah, I think we should.
Because it's so much fun. Mm-hmm. You know, the Western clothes, for me, I feel them very, you know, I like to mix, but mainly they're very plain and
they
very bland.
Oh, look, I'm all in black. Like, it's
yeah, you can disappear into the furniture with this kind of clothing.
Wow, fantastic. I'm having so much fun. So now, just one last question and we're gone. So there's a woman out there listening to you, confused about whether to move from this career to that career, what would your advice be?
Think it through. Mm-hmm. I think you have to think it through what you really want. Why do you want to change? And when you want to change, there's a lot of planning mm-hmm. to be done. So yeah. you have to think it through. I planned and I saved. Because when you're changing careers, you kind of go to zero. And yes, yeah. you do start up again. So mm-hmm. you have to create that buffer zone. Mm-hmm. So if you decide to jump, think long and hard. If you mm-hmm. really it's in your heart and you have the skills or you can train to get the skills, mm-hmm. go for it and plan. And know that you'll need a bit of a buffer zone. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a new business will take 6 months to 1 year to take off. Just be prepared for that.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. you know, don't worry. As mm-hmm. I said, if you fail, at least you can say, I tried.
Exactly. Okay, so just out of curiosity, I know I said last. So have you ever gone through fashion school?
Confessions of a renegade designer. I haven't. Okay. I am self-taught. I do not necessarily recommend that. But there are various ways of learning, and I think learning is ongoing. So
it is.
I've learned a lot, albeit a lot of what I've learned is through making a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have learned a lot, and I'm still learning a lot. And we have such amazing tools to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Eyes, just yeah. being able to see. Being able to read, being able to hear, these are major tools that we can use. Mm-hmm. Just by watching something or someone and hearing, we can learn so much. And we live in an amazing age where we can do this remotely now on the internet. We can watch videos, we can enroll for courses online. You can even do some of these courses. If you're looking at changing careers, you can do a lot of the training online in your spare time.
Mm.
Instead of spending 1 or 2 hours watching TV, enroll in a course.
That was Katoa Clark, having
Towani
from Kutoa.
I know, it's the root of my name. Yeah, it confuses everybody.
You need to change it.
My name?
Yeah.
No.
To Towani, like...
Oh, I should call it Towa Designs Me.
Yeah.
Maybe I should edit.
No, both.
You can keep watch the space. It's your fault if it happens.
Yeah, you can keep both. Yeah. So I was having a great conversation with Towani Clark, the owner of Kutoa Designs, and we were talking about diverse career change. I hope you have learned a lot of things. I know I have. Great, amazing woman I've had in the studio. Remember, the ability to make money lives inside each one of us. Until next time, bye-bye.
Women at Money. To help women start, stay, and succeed at work and in business, this is Women at Money with your host, Nkonde Fumbeshi.